In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. But as soon as Jeremiah finished telling all the people everything the Lord had commanded him to say, the priests, the prophets, and all the people seized him and said, "You must die. You simply have to love and admire this man." Jeremiah is an example for all Christians, and especially for those in the office of the Holy Ministry. Jeremiah had been given very clear instructions from the Lord to tell them everything that the Lord had commanded him to preach. He was not to omit a single word. If Israel did not repent and change her ways from her syncretistic worship and immorality, then both the temple and Jerusalem would be destroyed. As soon as Jeremiah finished his sermon in the temple, the priests, the prophets, and all the people seized him and said, "You must die." Now, this is not the sort of reaction to a sermon that we normally prepare our students for in homiletics. It was not a pagan terrorist either who burst into the temple threatening one of God's prophets, but it was the congregation. It was the people. It was his fellow clergy who were shouting for Jeremiah's head. You can't always count on the congregation. You can't always count on the voters. You can't always count on church officials to be there when you need them. Sometimes in life, pastors just get hung out to dry. Thanks be to God for Jeremiah and men like him. We do well to always keep his example before us, seized by the worshipers, anticipating the stones that would soon begin to fly. He remains this intrepid picture of calm nobility and courage. His response to the mob was unflinching. "Now reform your ways and your actions and obey the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent and not bring this disaster which he has pronounced against you. But as for me, I'm in your hands. Do with me whatever you think is good and right." Jeremiah was completely at home and secure in his office. This is probably because he never lost sight of his ordination, for it was there that God told him exactly what to do and what to say. And it was there that God promised Jeremiah that he would be with him. In chapter 1 of Jeremiah, the Lord said, "You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. And do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you," declares the Lord. Nice ordination verse. And the Lord did rescue Jeremiah from this particular church crisis. However, according to tradition, he ultimately met a martyr's death in Egypt. One can easily imagine Jeremiah saying the same thing or a similar thing in Egypt shortly before the first rock headed towards his skull. "As for me, I'm in your hands. Do with me whatever you think is good and right." Deep in my heart, this is the kind of pastor I want to be. And this is the type of pastor and missionaries our synod wants you to be. And so at your ordination, you will stand before God, and like Jeremiah, you will be asked to promise to teach all the things that the Lord has commanded you to teach. And you will be asked to promise that you will perform all the duties of your office in accordance with the confessions and holy scriptures. And then you will say to God and to the church, "I do promise." Today, however, is not the minor festival of St. Jeremiah. It's the commemoration of St. Simon and Jude, apostles, of which the three texts that I was given aren't even mentioned. At first glance, it seems that they only made it into the church calendar because they made it onto that list of 12. They're so far down the list that the only person coming after them is Judas Iscariot. Now, we also seem to always be having to explain that they're not to be confused with some other apostles. Now, we know that Simon is not to be confused with Simon Peter, was a zealot, a fierce nationalist, and that's about it. Sort of a strange type of person to call for to be an apostle. And Jude, actually Judas, but we call him Jude so we don't confuse him with Judas. We just know that he was the son or brother of James. None of the details of their ministries are known. We only have tradition which tells us they went and preached and were martyred in Persia. Well, some things never change. It's still dangerous to go to Iran or to a Middle East country. And it's a sure way to be martyred and forgotten. We don't know much about Simon and Jude, but you gotta love them. As apostles, they were sent and they went. They didn't send themselves. As apostles, they would have preached forgiveness and forgiveness in Jesus' name. They would have brought the very presence of the God-man Jesus Christ into the midst of these other nations through preaching the gospel and the evangelical sacraments. They would have spoken all the words that the Lord had given them to preach, and then in doing so, they died. They were killed. That's what can happen to you when you preach Christ crucified. Maybe we need a few more zealots in the ministry. Not the misguided kind that blow up the infidel, but who are equally calm and courageous in the face of death and motivated by the love of Christ, not hate. We don't know much about Simon and Jude. There's just one place in the scripture where we hear them speak. Well, one of them speak. It was on Maundy Thursday. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Short little question. It got a long answer. But in that long answer, Jesus made it very clear that indeed he would show himself to the world, however not immediately, not in powerful signs and wonders, but through the means mediated through the preaching of the gospel. And so he was sending Judas to do that, and Simon to do that, and the other apostles and prophets and pastors and evangelists and teachers to reveal him and his salvation to the nations. No theology of glory here, just the theology of the cross, that humble, weak, scandalous, objectionable message that God died for the sins of the world. Furthermore, in Jesus' response to Jude's question, Jesus prepares Jude and the other apostles and all who would one day serve in the holy ministry. He gives all of us a real dose of reality. He says, "This is what you can expect when you preach Jesus. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also." That pretty much sums up the message of all three readings appointed for St. Simon and St. Jude. Prophets, apostles, pastors, evangelists, teachers, faithfully proclaiming the gospel amid persecution and martyrdom. Jeremiah could have modified his message a bit and pleased the crowd. The other prophets did it all the time, and they were quite popular. Worldwide, over the past two centuries, things have been extremely dangerous for Christians and their pastors. Just note the former Soviet Union, Armenia, Sudan, China, the Islamic nations. Christians in America, though, have been spared, for the most part, physical danger. However, the temptation to adapt the message to a culture has been especially strong. We don't know much about persecution, but I think we've learned a lot about this. If we sweeten up the law and the gospel, if we sweeten up Jesus, then the consumer will be more attracted to our product. There's a young artist in Lithuania. She could teach us a thing or two. Her name is Egla Rakakowski. One of her works is entitled Chocolate Crucifixes. It consists of an entire white wall covered with chocolate crucifixes. With the fall of the Iron Curtain, Soviet Union and the fall of the Soviet Union, Western culture, much of it trite and spiritually degrading, has flooded into Lithuania and other countries. Customer-friendly styles of American Christianity has also been exported to these places. One art critic put it like this: "It's hard to say whether these chocolate figures of the Savior speak more of tradition or of the modern day, which wants even its spiritual nourishment to have a sweet taste." While we may not be martyred for preaching Christ crucified, but we will be pressured to sweeten things up a bit to fit the spiritual tastes of contemporary society. We may not be martyred for telling the truth, but we probably won't be all that popular in our culture, and we may even have to suffer somewhat for it. But with Jeremiah and Simon and Jude, we have the promise that the Lord is with us. We have the promise from Jesus Christ himself that the Holy Spirit will accompany every word and every sacramental deed, everything that we undertake in his name and by his command. And with such a promise, we too can be secure at home and confident in the office. And we can get up each morning and we can go to bed each night and say, "I love my job." Thanks be to God.